trust in the promise, I will not forget thee. Onward will I go with songs of joy and love. Though they despise me, all my friends forsake me, I shall be remembered in my home above. I will not forget thee, nor leave thee. In my hands I'll hold thee, in my arms I'll fold thee. I will not forget thee, nor leave thee. For I am thy Redeemer, and I will care for thee. Where at the golden borders I am standing, all my tribulations and all my sorrows past, how sweet to hear the blessed proclamation, enter faithful servant, welcome home at last. For I will not forget thee, nor leave thee. In my hands I'll hold thee, in my arms I'll fold thee. For I will not forget thee, nor leave thee. For I am thy Redeemer, and I will care for thee.
Trust in our Lord Jesus, He will bless. And maybe one day I'll sing it fully when the thing is working. Amen. Yeah. Praise God.
Hallelujah. All right. The text of my message this morning is printed across the back of the bulletin. I just happened to notice that a while ago. Galatians 6:14. See that? Don't even have to open your Bible. You see it right there. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to speak this morning about the cross of Jesus Christ, the emblem of the cross. You know, a flag is the national emblem of a country. All of the countries have flags. In fact, recently in the paper, you probably saw this too, that the homosexuals in our country have multiplied to such a number and have gained enough political clout that they now have their own flag. It's a rainbow flag. There was a picture of it in the paper, and it's flying out here in the Hillcrest area of San Diego that's been claimed by them. The flag is the emblem of a country, a people. But you know, Christianity has an emblem that's even greater than that. Greater than the flag. And that's the cross. Anywhere you go in the world, the cross is the international symbol of Christianity. All of us are familiar, I'm sure, with the controversy that's been going on for several years now over the cross, that memorial that's on top of Mount Soledad out there. I mean to tell you, the ungodly, anti-Christian forces of unbelieving atheists and infidels want it removed. They bring it into the courts. Courts make a ruling. Some say take it down. Some say leave it up. It bounces back and forth. But you know, those atheists and infidels are having quite a bit of success around the country in removing crosses. Remember recently the one up there, I think it was out by Julian, someplace up there? They had a cross, some atheist driving by there, and he looked at that and he said, "I'm offended by that." And so he calls up somebody, and boy, I'll tell you, they took that cross down faster than you can get a axle-breaking pothole filled in the street. Yes, sir. They take those crosses down. The crosses are being removed from all public lands and parks and throughout the country because they've got the power of a liberal government behind them. But did you ever stop to think, why is there such antagonism? Why is there such hostility and hatred exhibited against the cross? What is it that makes it so offensive to certain people? Because the cross is the only emblem of salvation in this old sin-cursed, war-torn world. The cross, the symbol of salvation, it's the theme of all of the preachers that preach the gospel in this country. The cross is the sum of all knowledge, wisdom, and love. The cross is the revelation of God manifest in the flesh. And when God is repudiated and rejected, when his worship is abandoned, all emblems of Christianity must also be eliminated. Bibles, prayer, the Ten Commandments, churches, next on the agenda. Well, what's the true meaning of the sign of the cross? What is it about the cross that so endures itself to the Christian but makes it so infuriating to the world? Stop and think with me. The cross is the measure of the depth of sin. It's a reminder of sin. When an unsaved person looks at it, it reminds him that he's a sinner, that he's condemned, that when he dies, he's going to hell for all eternity. And he doesn't like that reminder. So he said, get rid of the cross. The cross is a symbol of death. Like the gallows with its hangman's noose. Or like the gas chamber. Or the guillotine. Or the electric chair. It's an instrument of torture, pain, suffering, and death. Because sin has left its slimy trail across the path of mankind through the centuries, all the way from the Garden of Eden. Sin was what caused Adam and Eve to be expelled from that garden. Sin was what caused the flood in Noah's day that destroyed the population of the earth except those eight people. Sin is what caused the burning of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sin is the cause of every sickness, every disease, every disaster, every tragedy, every war, every death. Its deep, ugly wounds mar the landscape of humanity. Every cemetery, every tombstone, a silent testimony that sin is in the world. Every hospital, ambulance, medicine, crutches, wheelchairs, doctors and nurses, a constant reminder that sin is in the world. Every hearse, every morgue, every funeral home, every mortuary is a symbol that sin is in the world. Every crime that is committed, every murder, rape, robbery, every court, every judge, every lawyer, policemen, soldiers, every jail, evidence that sin is in the world. It's here. It's among us. We live in the midst of it. The deadly virus of sin is in the bloodstream of every individual on the face of the earth. The scars of sin are everywhere. But, getting back to the cross, the extreme depth of sin is not seen until you go to that place outside the city wall of Jerusalem called Calvary. There, the exceeding sinfulness of sin is evident to the world. Because that's the place where the very Son of God and God the Son was reviled, spit upon, beaten, ridiculed, nailed to the cross, put to death. The cross stands as a mute reminder that sin is in the world and that all men are sinners. So it's offensive to those who are sinners. But you know, after we come by faith to that cross and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, He who died on that cross and shed His blood for the remission of our sins, that cross becomes a witness to the breadth of God's mercy. The greatest story of mercy is found at the cross. We sing a song, "Mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burdened soul found liberty at Calvary." It was at Calvary that God's grace and His mercy and His love was extended to lost mankind. And Calvary becomes the measure of God's love. When you see a cross, you remember how much God loves you. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man will lay down his life for his friends." While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus said, "I'm come to seek and to save that which was lost. And you know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, think of the cross, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The cross. If you want to know how much you're loved, go to the cross. There you'll find out. But the cross is also the power of Christianity. If you were to take away the cross, you would completely destroy Christianity. What would Christianity be without the cross of Christ? It would be stripped of its power, would it not? Go back to Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, when Simon Peter preached and 3,000 souls were saved. It was the preaching of the cross when he said, him have ye taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. The power of the cross is the only hope for this old world in which we live. It's the only hope. The preaching of the cross, the Bible tells us, is to them that perish foolishness. But to those of us who are saved, it is the power of God. The secret behind the power of Paul's preaching ministry was the cross of Jesus Christ. The cross is the power of salvation, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. So you can put away your money bags. Riches will not buy remission of sin. Put away your diplomas. Education will not earn you remission of sins. Forget your farms and your big barns filled with plenty. They will not secure remission of sins. But come to the cross as a poor, repentant, penniless sinner, and there you'll find remission of sins. This is a true saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ died to save sinners. There's one other thing I want to tell you about the cross. The cross is the liberation, the symbol of our liberation from sin that comes only through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, that was shed on that cross of Calvary. As long as the cross stands, Satan is a defeated foe. As long as the cross stands, Jesus will save to the uttermost all that will come unto God by him. Christianity, you may recall, became the accepted religion of the Roman Empire back in AD 312, when Emperor Constantine is said to have seen a fiery cross in the sky. Paul tells us in the context of our text that it was on the cross that our old man was crucified with him. It was on the cross that I was crucified unto the world, and the world was crucified unto me. So the cross becomes the sign of my consecration to God. It's God's symbol of victory over sin. No wonder the world doesn't like it. Christ and him crucified is the most compelling, irresistible message that's ever been preached or heard. heard or sung. There's no other story to compare with it. Our new life, with its peace and its joy, was born at the cross. The world was stripped of its charm at the cross. Our condemnation is lifted at the cross. The ruin of mankind is removed at the cross. The shadows of death are dispelled at the cross. The darkness of eternity is eradicated at the cross. That's where sins are forgiven. We sing a song at the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. The cross. Planted in the earth. Think of it. Like a post. Planted in the earth. With its top pointing toward heaven and its two arms outstretched in open invitation, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Songwriter said, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There is no other way but this. I shall ne'er catch sight of the gates of life if the way of the cross I miss. The way of the cross leads home. And that's sweet to know, isn't it? After the worlds have faded away and the revolving planets are no more, when blazing comets have left the last trail across the sky, when the sun has faded out in the presence of the light of the world, the cross will glow even brighter throughout all eternity. So when you see the cross, remember that it shows the depths of sin. It shows the love of God. It shows the victory of Christians over the world. And it shows us that we are saved for all eternity through the blood that was shed on the old rugged cross. Let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you today with thanksgiving in our heart for the great love that you had toward us while we were yet sinners, that Jesus Christ died for us. And it was on that cross that he suffered and bled and died. So let that cross, when we see a cross today, let it be meaningful to us. It's not just a piece of jewelry hanging around somebody's neck. But it's real. It points to heaven. It shows the sinner the way to eternal life. And help us to not be ashamed of the cross. For the preaching of the cross is still the power of God unto salvation. Father, if there's one here in this congregation today that has never been by faith to that cross and knelt at the foot of that cross and said, Jesus, let your blood wash away all my sins. Forgive me and cleanse me. I pray that today they will come by faith and kneel at that cross and let Jesus come into their hearts and save their souls and give them eternal life through Christ. We'll give you the praise, the honor, and all the glory. In his name we pray. Amen.
Number 552.
As we sing a verse of invitation, give you an opportunity this morning to come. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, we would beg and plead with you to do it today and let God save you, give you eternal life. The way, walk you in it. Will you come? On this course, will you come? You let the Holy Spirit lead you. He'll take you to the cross. Will you come today? A wonderful congregation. It's been a joy to worship with you today and to share with you the Word of God. Remember the cross. Remember the cross. Tonight, remember at 6 o'clock, come out for our concert. We'll have a good time in the Lord. You'll enjoy it. Be glad that you came. Hope you have a wonderful afternoon, and we hope to see you tonight. Brother David, come lead us in a benediction, please.
So we pray. Dear Heavenly Father, it's been so good to be here today again, Lord, to just worship you. And we thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, Lord, for our sins, Lord. And we just pray that if there's anyone here, Lord, that did not come forward, that has not accepted him, Lord, that they would not rest, Lord, until they've accepted Christ as their Savior, Lord, that you would just compel them to come, Lord. And we just, we're so thankful that you'll do that, Lord. You'll have somebody to come into their life and into their way, Lord, to witness to them, to testify to them, Lord, that you're the only way. Lord, we just pray for those who could not make it today, Lord, be with them, Lord. Help them, comfort them, Lord. If they're sick, Lord, lift them up, Lord, bring them back to us. Lord, we just thank you for this time that we've had today. Lord, bring us back again tonight. And we just thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
that truly praises God.